This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you?
A good morning to you. And can we just give it up for your wonderful team behind the scenes? It's such a pleasure to talk to the engineers and controllers first thing on a Friday morning.
Yep, they are an awesome team, Harry and Mukundi. I'm deeply grateful to them. And in fact, Mukundi just won the award last night. We are bragging. We're getting nachas. Mukundi won the award here at his graduation for being the top student. How about that?
Mukundi, I'm like a proud Jewish mom, my friend.
Absolutely. Today we all are. So that is really, really awesome. Rolene, it's a terrible story coming out of Gaza. First of all, well, just to tell us what happened.
A horrific fire in Gaza, which killed at least 21 people, including 7 children. Now, our defense minister, Benny Gantz, just moments ago has expressed his condolences and offered Israel's help evacuating the wounded to nearby hospitals. But what we apparently do know, and an investigation is underway, is that a fire erupted on the third floor of a 3-story building in the Jabalia camp. Now, this is according to Hamas, and it is believed that gas canisters were stored in the building, and one of them is believed to have leaked. And this is the information that we're getting now. And what is believed is that the family were holding a party. One of their family members had returned from abroad, and they had apparently lit candles, and this sparked the horrific, horrific fire. Just too terrible. The vast majority of the fatalities are from a single family, the Abu Raya family, and at the moment, 21 people dead.
What I don't understand is why do we call this a refugee camp? It's densely populated. There are buildings. It's a town. Why do we call it a camp? A refugee campfire. I mean, when I think of a refugee camp, I'm thinking of tents. This is a building.
This is a building. These are proper suburbs. These are suburbs with shopping malls, etc., shops to go to. I think this plays into the narrative that many want to keep as an ongoing call for the right of return, and the way that Palestinians see it, and also continuing to call it a refugee camp means they continue to get certain funding and certain aid from agencies like UNRWA. So, you know, it's not a refugee camp as we know refugee camps. We know refugee camps as cobbled together, tented little areas to help refugees, very, very rudimentary. These are not rudimentary areas at all.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is the article in the BBC, at least 21 killed in Jabalia, refugee camp fire, and you really do think of it as, you know, when you, and then it says Jabalia is one of 8 camps in Gaza. Like, what does that even mean? You know, and I do think we've got to be quite careful about our language that we, you know, when we talk about these things, I guess.
We do, and I would actually challenge the BBC on that, because all it does is it plays into perpetual conflict. It doesn't give the Palestinians any agency for having, you know, built up that area, you know, created infrastructure. So it really does them, and it does the situation between Israel and the Palestinians no favors. It just perpetuates continuous conflict.
Indeed it does. All right, let's talk about the South Africa's arrest of Israeli fugitives. So we saw the story developing, breaking at the end of the show yesterday, it really does seem to be an incredibly big and important story. Who are these guys? Are they well known in Israel?
They are extremely well known. They were the top of the wanted list. They were on the Interpol red list. This is Yaniv Ben Simon. You know, when the news broke, he wasn't identified, but he has subsequently been identified as 46-year-old Yaniv Ben Simon, along with seven of his cohorts, very, very closely connected to the Abargil crime family. These guys, and here I have to applaud the South African police services working very, very well with Israeli police, Israeli intelligence units and Interpol to track them down. They apparently had been hiding in South Africa for about 7 years. And were wanted for some of the most heinous crimes, you know, extortion, drug trafficking, conspiracy to commit murder, organized crime, just a laundry list of some of the worst crimes possible. Abargil is at the moment serving 30 years in an Israeli prison. So this was a good day for law enforcement in South Africa, in Israel, and internationally with Interpol.
It's really a phenomenal achievement. But how dangerous is this family? Are they still active in Israel?
Well, that's a good question. The head honcho of the family, Yitzchak Abergil, is in prison. I haven't seen any news reports whether or not they are still active, but I would imagine that because we've seen instances of organized crime throughout the years here in Israel, and we've actually seen quite a significant uptick in it over the last couple of weeks, I would imagine they are possibly still active.
Very, very scary. Does Israel want them back, or are they expected to stand trial in South Africa, given that they appear to have broken the law both in Israel with these attempted murder charges as well as here in South Africa, just simply by being in possession of what they were caught with?
Well, we don't know yet. You know, a lot of information around these cases are embargoed until the police censor says that it can be released for public and media consumption. The latest, and this was as per the update last night, Ben Simon and his cohorts will appear in South African court, and then from there, I guess we will find out whether or not Israel would want them extradited. I would imagine Israel is very keen to have them extradited back here to face charges and to stand trial, because they were the number one wanted criminals on the list here in Israel.
If I were the South African government, I'd want them back in Israel as well. I just can't imagine that it's going to be very easy to contain and curtail them, given their links and given the depth of their ability.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, here we have to, I know people complain a lot about South Africa and, you know, catching criminals. Here I really think that we have seen incredible efforts by the South African police services. I think they have worked extraordinarily well with Israeli police units. There were several units involved in this. In fact, there was quite a list of South African, Interpol, and Israeli agencies all working in cooperation to make this happen. And it really, to me, proves what can be accomplished when our two countries work together.
Well, I think that's also interesting, because we see there's a lot of negative publicity about South Africa and Israel's relationship, but this actually tells a very different story. When there's something important and when the crime agencies need to work to curtail crime, well, we seem to have seen a very good example.
Imagine how well we could work in other fields, guys.
Just putting that out there.
As you said to me yesterday, you know, despite all the noise, look what has been accomplished.
Yeah, I think it's incredible, and I think it's very important to be able to talk about that. Before I move on to the next subject, how big a problem is the Israeli mafia in Israel? Is it still something that is an ongoing concern?
Unfortunately, it is. And over the last couple of weeks, we have had quite a lot of accounts of inter-gang related violence, you know, car explosions, killings, this kind of thing. And, you know, Israel, like any other country, does have its fair share of criminals, unfortunately. And organized crime, unfortunately, is a big, big problem.
All right. Let's just talk about the coalition and government. What on earth is going on now?
Oh, beats me. I tell you, the one person who I really wouldn't want to be at the moment is Benjamin Netanyahu. What a week he has been. So he has set his personal deadline this coming Wednesday. He wants a coalition done and dusted by then. As we know, this is Israel, and, you know, you can hope for many, many things. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. So he's tried this week to try and get the talks underway. So we've had a real case of musical chairs. He met with Bezalel Smotrich 2 days ago. Smotrich wants the defense ministry. Now, the United States have given their opinion, not so subtly, saying that they caution Israel against putting people like Smotrich or Ben-Gavir into the portfolios that are extremely important. And these are portfolios like public security and defense, which of course is what they want. So Netanyahu told Smotrich, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be the defense minister. I mean, this is a guy who also barely served 2 days in the Israeli Defense Forces. So, you know, what experience he would bring, I have no idea. And he is reported to be furious and stormed out of Netanyahu's office, and meetings between the national religious and the Likud have been cancelled. There were also reports of Netanyahu meeting with Lapid and the National Unity Party, which of course got everybody's hopes up. They were very, very quick to stress that this was not a meeting about putting together a national unity government. But, you know, you and I are very adept at reading between the lines. And while they said that they weren't necessarily meetings about a national unity government, they were still meetings that were ongoing. And, you know, I think the hope of many is that we will have some kind of national unity government where we do have the more center-left parties to balance out what people are very concerned about, which is a government leaning too far to the right. We also had meetings with Ariel Dery. Ariel Dery wants the finance ministry, and at the moment there are no conclusions to that. So not an easy job. I think that Netanyahu's really set himself a very hard goal of trying to get it all done by Wednesday. But in reality, they have until, or at least he has until the 6th of December to make it happen. Failure to do so means it gets handed over to the next sucker to put this all together.
Not easy at all. That's all we have time for. Rolene Marks, thank you. As well, wait, before I let you go, do you have a favorite Afrikaans expression?
Of course I do, because Afrikaans being so wonderfully expressive, some things you can only say in Afrikaans or Yiddish. My favorite expression is far too rude for family-friendly radio, but it does have something to do with a lovely lady called Marilise.
Absolutely right. Rolene Marks wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a fantastic weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.